I'm Ted Gill, and I'm here because Russ is in Bergen County, where I'm usually at, and so he asked me to come here. So hopefully things are, I'm sure, going well over there in Bergen. But it's good to see all you guys. I haven't seen you in a minute. It's great to be out here. And so if you're visiting, somebody else will be speaking next week. You can just excuse anything I do wrong. It's all right. So we'll begin in Jeremiah chapter 29.
Oh, Ted.
Now, a lot of us know this scripture. You already know where I'm going. This was a scripture, like when I got married, it's on that little thing you pass out to everybody. I don't even know what you call it, but it was the scripture on that message that we handed out. And it says here in verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And you can read it in context if you get a chance, but the encouraging part here is always that God has a plan. He's got a plan. And we know his plan is good. The thing is, God was revealing his plan all along on what he was planning on doing. And if you turn over to Jeremiah, well, let's start in Isaiah first. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established at the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways.'" And so this is about 750 BC. And again, you see that God's got a plan, a good plan. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. He says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have been enlarged. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest." And so we continue to see that God's got a plan and he's looking forward. Isaiah 53. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "See, my servant will act wisely, but he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." And so we see that God has a plan. This was the plan that the Israelite nation had heard for centuries. Centuries. These are the scriptures that they memorized when they were in captivity. These are the things. Did I lose it? I got it back?
Yeah.
All right. So, wait. And so what happens is they knew these scriptures by heart. The rabbis memorized these scriptures. They had it, they knew it. And so when Jesus came, this was the stuff that they were looking forward to. They knew that at some point, God was going to redeem Israel, place them where they were no longer under anybody's rule, but that God would establish his kingdom and his nation forever. That was the plan. I lost it again. There you go.
Now you're back.
So, if
that's the plan,
and they knew the plan, why did Jesus have such a hard time when he got here? Why was it such a struggle? If this is the stuff they had been looking for, always pointing to in God's plan, why did he have such a hard time? It's because Jesus laid out a plan that they weren't ready to accept.
It was like, okay, they heard the good part.
We get a nation,
no more rulers.
But they didn't like the part about the suffering servant. I don't know if you noticed, in between there was the suffering servant part.
Right.
So if you know the scriptures and you know what's going to happen, why such a disconnect when Jesus talks about he has to suffer and die? And it was just like, well, surely that can't be you. Surely it can't be somebody from Galilee. It's like they automatically started discounting some of God's word. We want the good part.
Right.
We don't want the bad part. We're not really focused on that. And that's the thing about God's plan. And that's the thing we have to really be
aware of now in our walk with
God, because we've got promises also. We've got things that we should be looking forward to also.
Yeah.
But are you in
tune with the plan? Do you want the good part without
the bad part?
Do you understand that the plan is going to be costly?
Because
forgiveness is a gift from God. It's
right.
Because of grace. And
most times when you give somebody a gift, it didn't
cost them, but it costs you.
Right.
And so God's given the gift, but there is a price. And he's saying, yeah, it's coming, but here's the price.
Right.
But like most things, we just want the good gift. I don't care how much it costs you. I just want my gift. Now, if it costs you a lot, I appreciate it. But if I can't understand how much you spent for it, it's hard for me to kind of dial in, because if you spent like a
whole lot of money that's
like beyond what I can imagine, I can't really get there. I don't understand that. But it costs
God a lot
to get his plan done.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now here's the thing.
It is very hard
to embrace the plan when you can't necessarily connect all the dots. It's hard. So
they had all the prophecies
and they knew all this stuff was going to happen, but they were still going
through captivity. They were still
under Roman rule.
So
where's the plan? God, what are you doing? And we can get like that sometime too. Things can get really rough. Things can seem really disjointed. When I look around at what's going on sometimes in this country, I'm just like, Lord, what's up?
Yeah.
But you got to understand, God's plan is still working.
That's right.
He's still working. You can look at
your life and say, no, this is not what I planned. God is still working. He says, I know the plans I have for you.
You may not get it just yet, but do
you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust my plan, even though you don't necessarily get it right now? See, like my wife was up here talking. Let me tell you, me
being her husband was
not the plan. That was
not the plan.
There was no husband in
her plan.
There was no husband. It's not like, no.
Somebody else. No,
to nobody.
That was not the plan.
Living in the
USA was not the plan.
That was not the plan. Me living in New Jersey, trust me, was not the plan. I'm a native New Yorker, Brooklyn, New York. Jersey was a foreign concept. I came here and struggled when I landed. I landed in Jersey City. I came up out of the train station. I said, Lord, what is this? What is this? I called a cab and they said I'd be there. I'm on my way. And I'm like, okay, I'm downstairs. An hour later, where's my cab, man? I'm a New Yorker. I expect my cab. The cab shows up and there's somebody in it. I'm like, what? Nobody gets into a cab with anybody else without notice. What are you doing? It was not the, you didn't know the plan. Even when my wife and I started dating, it's just like, okay, she's going
to Africa on a mission team.
That was not my plan. And they asked me, they said, hey, you know, she's going. You going? Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, love will make you do stuff like that. Teens, understand that now. Love will make you say stuff that you're going to have to be accountable for later on. But we got some more advice and they changed the plan. It's like, no, you need to stay here in the States. You don't necessarily see it while you're in it. Now, I can look back at my life before being a Christian and I can see the dots and I can connect them. I go like, yep, God was there, God was there, and God was there. I see it clearly. But there's stuff in our life now. Look, I got three kids. Trust me, I got stuff. I don't necessarily get the plan, but I know there is a plan.
Do I trust the plan?
Do I trust God's plan? The same way that I wound up in New Jersey, the same way that she wound up with a husband.
Do I trust the plan?
Do I understand it? Do I trust it? It's easy to trust it when things are easy. When things get hard, it's hard. Matthew chapter 11, we'll turn over there. So let's go. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, it says, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist was amazing, but he had doubts. And if you think about it, when I look at the scripture, it's always amazing to me how real the Bible is. Because he's looking at John and he's saying, look, this is the Lamb of God. I know who he is. This is who I've been telling you about. This is the guy who I got to become less. He's got to become more. This is the guy. But here John is in prison. And it's not looking very good for him. In fact, he winds up getting his head but he has doubts, and he sends his disciples to Jesus, and he says, look, are you the one, or should we be expecting somebody else? Tough times can make you doubt. Can really make you doubt. And he went to Jesus, and he says, look, help me out here. Are you the man? You really the guy?
Right.
Now, Jesus could have said a lot of things to John through his disciples.
He could have said, hey,
you, how much little faith do you have that you don't believe? He could have said a lot of things to him. He's like, after all this time, do you still not believe in me? He could have said a lot of things. But what did Jesus do? He sent him back to the
scriptures. He
said, you go back and you tell John
what
you're seeing. And basically what he was describing, he's saying, you're seeing the fulfillment of the scriptures.
Amen.
John, you know the scriptures.
Amen.
They're being fulfilled. If that doesn't convince you, nothing I say will.
Right.
Nothing. And sometimes, I know I can, it's just like, man, can I get like a sign, God, something? You know, help me out here. But Jesus said, go back to the scriptures.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's where you get your confidence from.
Amen.
That's
right.
That's how you stay in touch with the plan.
Amen.
You got to go back to the scriptures. When things look hazy, you got to go back and understand that God fulfills his plan.
Amen. That's right.
You got to go back and understand the scriptures. How much does he love you? How much did he sacrifice for you? You got to understand that through all history, he designed a way for you to be here now at this place so that you might reach out for him. All of history has been configured around that concept.
Yeah.
That you would be born at the right time,
the right place,
so that you could become a Christian. You got to go back to the scriptures. And he says, that's what you need to look at, John. I know it's tough. You're in prison. You're probably not getting out.
Go back and trust
the scriptures.
Amen.
If Jesus told that to John, at that point, what do you think he's telling us today? You remember the rich man and Lazarus? He says, look, why don't you go back and tell my family so they can avoid this place here that I'm in right now? He says, look, they've got the scriptures. They've got Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. They've got the scriptures. If they don't believe them, they're not going to believe me, even if somebody comes back from the dead. If you don't believe the scriptures, nothing else is going to help you.
No.
This is where we've got to live and breathe
and have our confidence in God
that he's doing what he has always planned to do.
Amen.
And we have those scriptures to kind of prove it out. I'll close out here. John chapter 6. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, this is in verse 25, John 6. He says, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. We can work at a lot of stuff. He is saying, basically, don't work for food. That's not what this is about. What he's talking about here is your work.
Oh.
Is to believe in me. Lost some video?
Yeah, we did.
They're probably tired of looking at me anyways. Okay. But that's the work. The work is
to believe in Jesus.
It's not how many times you read your Bible, even though that's a good thing. It's not how many times you shared your faith. All the other stuff that you do really comes out of one thing if you're a Christian, because you believe in Jesus. And so that's not work, that's faith in action. The work is to believe in Jesus. Because when you come up in any decision that you're wondering, why, should I do this or should I do that? Do you believe in Jesus? That's your decision. Because
believe in Jesus and what he said,
and then you
believe in the Bible,
that will direct
you where you go.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Anytime you start wavering and you're not really sure, trust me, you're not focusing on Jesus.
Yeah.
It's just that plain. I know it for myself.
It's that plain.
It's about what do you believe? And it takes work to believe in Jesus. It takes work. He says, all this other stuff, no. Work, you want work? Work is to believe in the one that God sent. The work is to believe in me. And trust,
we take it for granted sometimes when we
come and say, I'm a Christian.
Right. Right. Oh, really?
So you're telling me that you believe that this person came from God to earth, lived a sinless life, was killed, and came back to life again.
Yes.
And that he's going to do the same thing for you. You're telling me that that's what you believe. That ain't a simple thing to say. We take it for granted sometimes, but how many people go around and talk to you about, yeah, I believe this guy came back from the dead. If somebody came and told you about that, somebody else who wasn't Jesus, you'd be looking at him cross-eyed. You'd be like, yeah, okay. You saw who? And they did what? But when we get to Jesus, that's what we're telling the world. That work. It is not easy. It is not simple to do, and I'm not saying that it is. It's a struggle. Jesus says it takes effort. It is something that you've got to dedicate yourself to. And the only way you get there is through the scriptures.
Amen.
The only way you get there. The only way you get a deep, abiding belief through the scriptures. No other way. Through those scriptures, if you're a Christian, you'll do whatever.
Oh,
got baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables us to live the life. But you only get there one way. And so today, as encourage you for work at believing in Jesus. Try and make it just start
there
and see where that leads you. I'm going to work on believing in Jesus. I'm going to believe what he said. I'm going to believe
what he did.
And everything he did is going to point me back to God.
Yes.
And the scripture says here, Paul says it in Romans. He says everything that was written in the past was for our benefit, so that we could learn from it and be encouraged. That's why you have the Old Testament, because you want to look back and see that, wow, God did everything he said he was going to do, all the way up to Jesus coming. See, they didn't get it, but we get a chance to look back, like I did in my life, and connect the dots. If you look back at the Old Testament and you see, and you say, wow, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. That should be our encouragement. As we can't connect the dots because we don't see it all, but we trust the plan. And that gives us hope. Do the work of believing in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.